Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special March Madness edition of the Pick and Pop podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Tyler, and on the other line is a very, very excited Damian Arsenis from pickandroll.com.au. Damo, it is finally here.
It's time to go dancing, and what a way to go dancing we've got. We've got one, two, three, four, five teams with Aussies directly qualify automatic bids. And then we've had a number of teams receive at-large bids.
Another five, yep. So 10 in total, 10 teams in total.
And how many Aussies, mate?
17.
17. Now, that's not including any of the red shirts. We haven't included them because they haven't been playing.
Yep.
But certainly those that can and will play, we've named them.
So before we go through the bracket and have a look at how far we think each of these teams with Australian representation can go, we will just give a bit of a roundup on the teams that have actually made it. So if we're looking at the automatic bids, we've got Winthrop with Xavier Cooks, who took out the Big South Championship, UC Davis with Chima Maniki, Big West Champions, Duke with Jack White, ACC Champions, Arizona with Keanu Pinder, Pac-12 Champions, and Kentucky with Isaac Humphries as SEC Champions. And the five that received at-large bids are Baylor with Joe Lawalachul Jr., Louisville with Mango Mathiang and Deng Adel, Florida with Gorjok Gak, and St. Mary's with pretty much every single other Australian in the world. So,
And don't forget Miami.
And Miami with Dejan Vasiljevic. So we've got some good teams here. Certainly a lot of teams with the potential to go a long way. So we'll work our way through the bracket and talk through each of these teams and how their prospective matchups could look. We'll go east, west, midwest, then south regions of the bracket. And we'll start off with Florida. If we're working our way down from top to bottom, we'll start off with Florida. They are a fourth seed.
Can I jump in, Chris?
Yes, you can.
Can you start with the first four, mate?
Let's start with the first four. I did forget about the first four. But let's assume that UC Davis win that game against NC Central and then go through to the main bracket.
All right, let's do that then.
Let's assume that UC Davis are in.
All right, I like the sound of that. It means they'll win their first ever NCAA tournament game in their first ever appearance.
And to celebrate that fact, they get to play Kansas in the opening game of the Midwest. But we'll get to that when we get to the Midwest.
Welcome to the Big Dance.
Exactly. So we'll start off with Florida. They're the fourth seed in the East. They've got an opening round matchup against East Tennessee State. You'd think, Damo, that Florida would get the chocolates in this game. We don't know how much we'd see Gak. He hasn't played too many minutes throughout the entire season, and I wouldn't expect him to play probably at all, I'd say, even in the opening matchup. But throughout Florida's entire March Madness campaign, I would be surprised if we saw any of Gorjak Gak.
Look, love to see him, but if you look at what's happened this season, he's doubtful that he's going to see any action, barring an absolute thrashing, I guess, is the one way to look at it. But certainly, Florida have to be the favourites in that game. Overwhelming favourites, but as we've seen in many a March Madness before, many upsets happen.
Exactly. And so what we might see is if Florida end up wrapping up the game against East Tennessee State at about, you know, just 5-10 minutes into the second half, we might get to see Gak get some junk minutes. That's probably the most likely scenario for him actually getting on the court. But short of that, we probably won't see him from then onwards. And so if I've gone through my bracket and done my predictions, which I have just really quickly before we came on here, you'd say the most likely scenario for Florida in the third round would be against Virginia, who would have won against UNC Wilmington in the second round. Out of that matchup, I probably would be leaning towards Virginia at this stage. They are an incredible team, coached by Tony Bennett, obviously. So they are defensively very good, and they, I think, will have the chocolates over Florida. I just don't think Florida have the same caliber of wins. I just don't think that they have the consistency that is needed to overcome the Cavaliers. What are your thoughts on that matchup if we are to assume that Florida will face off against Virginia in the third round?
Well, I foresee that as well. I can't see how UNC Wilmington will get past Virginia, and the way Virginia have been playing, I can't see them losing to Florida, unfortunately, for Gak. You know, while Florida has a number four seed in comparison to Virginia's five, let's be honest, there's no difference between a lot of these three, four, five, six, seven seeds anyway. So as much as I'd like to see Gak advance, and I hope he does, I can't see Virginia losing that one.
Of course,
if it all plays out as we say it will.
Before we move on, by the way, I'm just having a look at the ESPN bracket in front of me, and it's labelled the round of 64 as the first round. Has that changed again? Because last year, in the last couple of years, we've been referring to the first four as the first round, and then the main round is the second round. The round of 64 is referred to as the second round, which is what I've been doing. What's the correct terminology, Damo?
Well, we should probably go to the NCAA website, who are the custodians of the competition, and they refer to the first four, being the first four games, as we talked about. And I'm just going to refer to it for you. I can't actually find it, Chris.
It's strange because if it was up to me, I would say that the round of 64 is the first round and that the first four is a lead-in to the first round. But the last few years, whenever we're talking brackets, we refer to the round of 64 as the second round, but this one seems to be not quite on the same page as that. But well, for the sake of it...
I found it. NCAA, it is still the first round, so the first four, it does not count as the first round.
Okay, so the first round is the round of 64.
That's right.
Beautiful. I like that. That's better. That's better. So all right, so for the rest of the podcast...
We won't take anything away from UC Davis when they win their first full game.
Definitely not. Absolutely not. They're still in the tournament. That's fine. But for the sake of the rest of the podcast, when we refer to the first round, it is the round of 64. Second round will be the round of 32. All right. For the rest, that's what we're doing.
I'm glad we cleared that up.
Beautiful. Next one. The next team that we want to have a look at is Baylor as a 3 seed in a first round matchup against New Mexico State. We've spoken about Baylor a lot on this show throughout the season, and they are a side that had a terrific start to the season, ended up getting the number one rank in the AP poll, I think, a couple of months into the season. They looked fantastic, kind of fallen away a little bit since then. One of the main reasons why they looked so fantastic was the performance of Australian Joe Lawalachil Jr., who started off the season like Baylor did, incredibly hot. So let's hope that he can reclaim some of that early season form. But they definitely have potential to cause a lot of damage in the tournament. But kind of like Florida, I think they're a bit wishy-washy. They do have some good wins, but they also have some terrible losses as well. So even though I have them getting past New Mexico State in the first round, and then again, if we're assuming that SMU beats either Providence or USC in the first round, I probably will have Baylor over SMU there, but then I'll probably have Baylor lose to Duke in the Sweet 16. What are your thoughts, Damo?
Look, there's a lot of ways this plays out, but SMU did exceptionally well in the America tournament. And to do what they did, given what they've been through, and they've had an exceptional season. And unlike Baylor, they're coming in with a head of steam. So I think that's going to be a real danger match for Baylor. But, you know, you can't rule out some of the stars Baylor have. There's a reason why they were a number one ranked team during the season as well. Motley's been outstanding. He's going to get drafted in the NBA. So Baylor can get it done. And I think a lot revolves around, as you sort of mentioned, not just Motley, but their front line. And when Lawalachil Jr. plays well, Baylor looked unstoppable. So a lot may hinge on the Aussie pivot.
Absolutely. They are an incredibly athletic side. They've got a whole bunch of length. They're kind of like, we refer to them as the Milwaukee Bucks of the college basketball landscape because of how tall and how lengthy they actually are. But like you said, I think a lot of how they go in the tournament will come down to the performance of Joe Lawalachil Jr., which is fantastic for us because it means that we'll get to see a lot of him play. He'll get some big minutes and hopefully put up some decent numbers as well. And it could put him, if he does have a good tournament, it could put him on the map as well in regards to the national spotlight, I guess.
Yeah, well, he certainly worked his way into the NBA draft boards for the following year. He's had a great season. He was named Big 12 Newcomer of the Year and to the All-Defensive First Team. So he is already getting recognition for what he can do. He just needs to be able to now deliver on the big stage. And Baylor are going to need him if they really want to progress deep into this tournament. And they've shown when he plays well, they're one of the best teams going around.
The third team and final team that we want to talk about in the East is Duke as a 2 seed, who kind of made a late run with that ACC tournament win. I don't think many people were expecting them to take out the ACC. It's such a strong conference, and in the end, they kind of came from the clouds a little bit. They were struggling towards the end of conference play, but that ACC championship win really cemented their spot as a 2 seed and has kind of helped them in their journey towards the championship game. And I've got them going to the Elite Eight and eventually falling to Villanova. So taking down Baylor in the process, taking down South Carolina in the process, taking down, obviously, Troy in the opening round, in the first round, but I do have them eventually going down to Villanova in the Elite Eight. What are your thoughts, Damo?
Well, to me, they're one of the teams, the form teams coming into the tournament. You know, as you mentioned, that they're a 14th ranked team coming in, and they took all before them to win the ACC. And let's talk about the ACC for a moment. They are the strongest team in college. Strongest conference in college basketball right now. They've got an ACC record 9 teams that have gone dancing. So that tells you how strong they are. And they had to beat nationally ranked teams to get there. So
beat UNC.
Yeah, UNC.
That was the big one. Yeah.
And they're one of the form teams going around, and you can't really write them off at all. They're tried, tested. They're a perennial contender. But Troy, I feel sorry for Troy. Troy, you're going to get absolutely spanked in that game.
We have seen, though, Duke lose these easy game matchups early on in the tournament as well. Was it a few years ago against Lehigh?
They're not losing against number 15 Troy right now. They are the hottest ticket going there. As you said, they're going to play the winner of South Carolina and Marquette, and I really can't see Duke losing to either of those teams. They're too deep, too experienced, and as I said, playing some hot basketball. But once
saying that, though, I do love South Carolina. I wouldn't be completely stunned if South Carolina upset Duke in that game.
Look, they're a great team, but I just can't see them at the moment. I'm not convinced of the matchups that South Carolina have that to take them to Duke. But having said that, there's no easy game. There's no easy game. But once Duke get past Troy, there's no easy game. You know, as you said, South Carolina likely to get through. Then you're looking at, from my perspective, it's going to be SMU or Baylor that they're going to have to hit there. And I actually like Duke's matchup against those two teams. The only thing is, if Baylor gets through, I think their length will give them a bit of trouble. But as I said earlier,
I just don't trust Baylor winning that many games in a row. That's the only thing. That many big games in a row.
And that's the difficulty there. So if Baylor can get there, I think they're the only team in that sort of neck of the woods of the bracket that can give them a bit of grief, and that'll have them in at least in the Sweet 16, if not going to the Elite Eight. And you know, anything can happen from there.
Let's move to the West, and we have two teams with Australian representation in the West, starting off with our very favourite St Mary's Gales. As a 7 seed, Damo, we were poo-pooing Joe Lunardi's prediction of a 6 or 7 seed when he was predicting that St Mary's would get into the tournament.
He was close, wasn't he?
The fact that they didn't beat Gonzaga in the West Coast Conference final kind of solidified that idea for me, but they still got the 7 seed, which is fantastic, because we thought they would probably be pushed to the 10th or 11th seed, but they do have the 7 seed in the West. They will face off against VCU, the Rams, in the first round, and I like that matchup for St Mary's, Damo. I've got that as a win for the Gales.
Yeah, look, hearing a couple of pundits talk about this game, they're all writing St Mary's off, or a lot of them have been writing St Mary's off, but given the amount of talent, there's only, they haven't really struggled at all. They had a couple of down games. We've talked about it before, Chris, but they've always bounced back, and right now they're bouncing back from a loss to Gonzaga in the WCC tournament. So anything to go by during the season, they're going to bounce back with a win. And I'm not going to take anything away from VCU. They're a quality program. That they go dancing every single season. But right now, St Mary's has probably got a bit of a chip on their shoulder as well. And I just think, who's going to stop Landau on VCU? I don't see anyone being able to stop him apart from him getting himself into foul trouble.
The thing I don't like about St Mary's is the weakness of their non-conference schedule was It wasn't very strong. Their non-conference schedule wasn't very strong, essentially. So they have had 4 losses. 3 of them have been to Gonzaga, and obviously Gonzaga are a fantastic side, so you shouldn't take too much away from the fact that St Mary's hasn't been able to beat them. But they've only had 1 other loss, which is why they've got that 7 seed. But they haven't beaten anyone of note particularly either. So that's the issue with St Mary's that I see.
Yeah, look, I hear where you're coming from, but if you look at who's in the tournament, they've beaten Nevada, they've beaten Dayton. They've beaten some quality teams. Admittedly, they were earlier in the season, and everyone else that's gone dancing from their conference, it's only Gonzaga. So you got to go right back to the start of the season where they had some of those quality wins, and obviously they've stead them up very well. But right now, I still can't see VCU getting them, but maybe that's more my heart over my head. That's who I'm going for.
I'm with you all the way, mate. And then the second team that we wanted to touch on in the West is Arizona as a 2 seed, coming off a fantastic Pac-12, another strong conference, coming off a Pac-12 victory. They will play 15 seed North Dakota. Now, before we give our predictions, every year there seems to be a 15 seed upsetting a 2 seed. So in our predictions, we're probably always going to go the 2 seed. But just be wary, that matchup is always scary for the 2 seed. But even so, I still think Arizona should get this game handily.
Look, you're right. There's going to be an upset somewhere. I'm just not convinced it's Arizona. I think Arizona, they look good. They're one of the best defensive teams coming into the tournament. And, you know, we're watching them in the Pac-12, you know, they had to account for a very, very good Oregon team. And Oregon smashed them last time they played. And this time they grounded out defensively. They got the win. They managed to do it down the stretch. And, look, the pleasing thing is that Keanu Pinder's now found himself back into the rotation, and his defensive presence in the paint has been very noticeable in his minutes. While he's not getting big minutes, he's certainly making them count when he's on the court. He's been racking up a couple of fouls, but he's out there to play D at the moment. He's not there to score, and it's really pleasing to see an Aussie playing a role on such a strong team heading into the NCAA tournament as well. But you look, on paper, North Dakota should not beat Arizona, but this is the NCAA tournament. And look, for me, if Arizona get through, which they should, I think they're going to face St. Mary's. And unfortunately for St. Mary's, I don't know how they're going to beat Arizona.
I'm with you. I actually have Arizona going all the way to the championship game. So I have them beating St. Mary's. And then if you do all my sums here, I'll probably have them against Maryland in the Sweet 16. I have them beating Maryland.
It's either going to be Florida State or Maryland, as far as I'm concerned. And I can't see Arizona losing to either of those teams. Although Florida State, they're a very athletic team as well. But I think Arizona's got the athleticism to match that.
And then I've got Arizona beating the Zags as well in the Elite Eight. And I've got Arizona beating Villanova in the Final Four. And I have them in the championship game. So fingers crossed again. We've said this before. We've got a lot of chances to see Australians make that championship game. No, there's only been 2, Damo, that have ever made it. Any Australians that have actually made it to the national championship game. I think this will be our year.
Yeah,
to make it the 3.
Andrew Gaze at Seton Hall, and of course he played a starring role to get them there in the first place. And Luke Schencher for the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets.
He also played a big role.
He did play a very big role, and he certainly got looks at NBA teams and got a couple of contracts out of it. So, but look, right now, Arizona should get through. I like your idea of how they can get to the championship game. I don't think they'll quite get there myself, but you know what?
They're one of the most informed teams in the nation. I think that really counts.
Yeah, like you said, you know, they are informed. I think Duke's one of the teams coming in as one of the form teams as well, which I sort of mentioned. But you know, there are a number of quality teams coming in good form.
That's it. So let's move to the Midwest now, and we'll go back to that matchup that we want to talk about before, Kansas against UC Davis. Is there any chance whatsoever in the entire world, Damo, that UC Davis can cause an upset over Kansas, keeping in mind that TCU just beat Kansas in the Big 12 tournament? Surely they can't drop 2 of those games together. Because losing to TCU is one thing, firstly. Losing to UC Davis would be another thing completely. I just cannot see Kansas losing this game whatsoever. I feel like UC Davis, if they ended up winning their first round matchup, they're going to be in for one hell of a night.
It's going to be a challenge, let's put it that way. But look, as we said, things can happen. For me, Chima Maniki, who was the MVP of the Big West tournament for UC Davis, he came up with the game winner in the semi-final, a big tip-in on the buzzer, to get him through in overtime. So he's a big game player. He's capable of delivering a 2020 performance on the big stage. Now, whether he can do that, maybe he needs to do that for them to have any chance against Kansas. But realistically, I think the Aggies' run will end at the first 4.
We spoke about
they'll win that one and get through to Kansas and tournament over.
We spoke about the fact that there generally seems to be always a 15 seed upsetting a 2 seed. No 16 seed has ever beaten a 1 seed. So I expect that to continue this year as well.
Yeah, the odds aren't there, are they?
Definitely not. The next team we wanted to have a look at in the Midwest is Miami. They have clinched an 8 seed in the Midwest. Now they play 9 seed Michigan State. Michigan State have had a somewhat down year. They finished the season 19-14. You don't expect that from a Tom Izzo coached team. But if I'm Miami, I'm kind of scared about the fact that I'm facing Michigan State. What do you think?
I don't think anyone really wants to face Michigan State in the NCAA tournament. They're one of those teams that are just always managing to find a way to get to the Final Four.
And especially after losing in the first round last year as a two seed against, what was it, Middle Tennessee?
I think it was, actually. You're right. And, you know, it's Miami. I think the one thing in Miami's favour is they're young. They're young. They're going to go out there and just go out and give it a red-hot crack. And, you know, they've got two great freshmen, and one of those is an Aussie in Dejan Vasiljevic. And he can light it up. And I think a lot of things have to go right for Miami to win this game. But if they can light it up from downtown and the freshmen can really deliver on the big stage, and, of course, we've seen that from Vasiljevic on the world stage playing for junior Australian teams, then anything's possible. But that's a scary matchup, and it's so close to call that one right now.
I've got it as Miami, but I feel like it's just because I'm biased.
Yeah, part of me, my head's saying Michigan State, my heart's saying Miami, and that's because of bias. But
either way, I think Miami or Michigan State would be able to get past Kansas anyway, so...
Not in the form that they're in and not the way that Miami and Michigan seasons have gone. But, you know, Miami have shown they can do some damage when they get it going, but I really think Miami's chances are going to come next year.
I think so too, and they haven't got a particularly good record against the RPI Top 50 anyway. So if they're playing good sides, Miami, generally speaking, they're not going to be able to get over the line. But the fact that they're in there as an 8 seed, playing in a tough ACC conference, I think they exceeded expectations from the start of the year. So kudos to them. Even if they can't get the win over Michigan State, I'd still say it's been a productive season for the Hurricanes.
Oh, most certainly. And the fact that they're going to get tournament experience for next year, and I think that's when they can do some serious damage.
I'm with you. The next game, Louisville as a 2 seed against 15 seed Jacksonville State. This is in the Midwest as well. This is a team that both you and I love, Damo. We've got Mango Mathiang and Deng Adel playing big time minutes for the Cardinals. This is a team that can go very, very far. I wouldn't be surprised if they even do make that championship game. This is another team that we spoke about before, having that chance to make it that far. In the end, I probably can't see them getting further than that game against Kansas, which would be in the Elite Eight, but I wouldn't be surprised if they were to go further. I have them winning all the games through it until that Kansas game. Damo, what do you think?
Look, I think they're one of the teams that can actually get past Kansas. Now, whether they do or not, obviously, time will tell, and they've both got to get to that point first.
They do. So they'd have to get past Oregon, you'd say, as well. Oregon in the same corner as the bracket, so
exactly
they would have to
right.
get past Oregon as well as the other two, you know, another two games before that. But the most likely scenario...
And Michigan's there, so they're probably going to
Michigan.
Yeah,
Michigan, I'm not that scared about Michigan, to be honest.
Well, the way Louisville have played this season... I guess that's the part where I'm a little bit wary about what they can and can't do and how.
Yeah,
and
but
how
I'm not going to be too nervous about any teams in the Big Ten, to be honest.
Oh, well, there you go. I still am. And you're talking about a 15 seed against a 2 seed. Well, this, you know, Jacksonville State could cause a bit of an upset, but I still think Louisville will get that game. Michigan, I have them beating Michigan. I have them beating Oregon, and I think that matchup you're talking about with Kansas, I think that's the one, the big one there. But both teams have to get there first. I think Louisville's athleticism, I think they've got some players that can really step up on the big stage. They've got some streaky players, and Deng Adel is one of those streaky players, but I think they're just about primed. They've had Mango Mathiang and Deng Adel got suspended for a game because they missed a curfew. They've had little niggles. And, of course, remember, they weren't able to play in the tournament last year. Self-imposed ban.
Yeah, for the escort scandal?
Something to play for.
Was that because of the escort scandal?
It was indeed.
That's right.
Self-imposed ban. And, again, that affected a lot of players that weren't even involved, unfortunately. So they've got something to play for. And I just think I think they can get past Kansas. And I've got them going to the Final Four.
And you have them losing eventually to UNC? Or Kentucky? Or should
I
we get to that?
I had Kentucky, but anyway, we'll get to that.
All right, we'll get to that. So if we move over to... Oh, by the way, Louisville's probably the team that Australian basketball fans should watch out for the most because they do have a lot of talent by Australians. We have Australians playing big-time roles, big-time minutes in a team that can go very far. So if you're talking about purely from an Australian point of view, that's probably the team to keep an eye on the most. Do you agree?
Certainly. And, you know, we're talking about Deng Adel, who's a likely NBA draft pick in a couple of years. So, the talent there, it's senior Mengo Massiang's last season, so he'll be looking to go out on a high. And I just think that everything's going to come together for Louisville, and they're going to get it right. They missed out in the tournament, the conference tournament. So I just think everything's going to go right, and they're going to get the final four. Don't know if they can win it, though, as I said.
Let's move to the South. And Winthrop, we mentioned before, with Xavier Cooks, Big South champions, are playing as a 13th seed against the 4th seeded Butler. Now, on paper, you'd say Butler are probably going to take this one out relatively easily, but I wouldn't completely rule out the Eagles. What are your thoughts?
I actually think this is one of the upsets.
I'm thinking as well.
This is an upset waiting to happen. Winthrop have been by far the best team in the Big South. They've had the best two players. They've got the MVP of the conference plus Xavier Cooks, who wasn't far behind him. And the fact that they're both on the same team just makes them such a dangerous side. You know, Xavier Cooks is a walking double-double. He can have 20 and 10 on any given night, throw in 5 assists, and he's that kind of player. And Keon Johnson, who plays alongside him, is just an absolute scoring freak. He can hit him from anywhere. And between them, you know, any other team they play, they're going to have to guard both of them. They haven't just got one go-to player. They've got two. And I think this is what sets this team, this Winthrop team, aside from all those other seeds sitting outside the 10. Because they've got go-to players, talented players, and a really strong, experienced, you know, 7 or 8 players. So they're a reasonably deep team. They're going dancing for the first time, I think it's in 3 or 4 years. And for me, I think they can cause an upset over Butler. Butler doesn't impress me.
I'm exactly the same as you. I'm not scared by Butler particularly. I wouldn't be surprised if Winthrop get the win there. And then if they do, they play the winner of Minnesota and Middle Tennessee. I'm not particularly scared by either of those teams as well, Damo.
I know. This could really open up. There's lots of those to go around. But Minnesota, is a little bit like Butler. They don't impress me.
Yep.
Look, they're a talented team, and when I say they don't impress me, there's a lot of great teams here, but Minnesota, like Butler, they're good, but I wouldn't call them great, and I don't think they've got players that can really hurt and damage you. They're solid teams, and they play like that, but for me, if Winthrop can get past Butler, I reckon they're a chance to get past Minnesota, who should beat Middle Tennessee, but as you said, they had a big upset last year.
If we're looking at potential Cinderella stories, I wouldn't completely put it past Winthrop to make the Sweet 16. I think that's definitely possible.
Yeah, UNC is awaiting.
UNC will be waiting, and I can't see them getting past UNC.
No.
Considering I've got USC winning the championship, I don't think...
I think they could, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Winthrop is going to be the team standing in between UNC and the championship, just quietly. But you never know. No. Stranger things have happened. But
again, you're talking about a team to get behind and watch. Xavier Cooks is... You know, as I said, there's two go-to players on that team, and he's one of them. And if they both fire, the Eagles, they'll beat Butler, and I think they can do the same against Minnesota. But let's wait and see what happens, because, of course, all these teams now are going to have a couple of days to scout each other.
And the last team we wanted to touch on is Kentucky, who are the 2 seed in the South. They have an opening round matchup against Northern Kentucky. You'd say they should take care of those guys pretty easily, which would see a second round matchup against either Dayton or Wichita State. I love Wichita State. Every year Wichita State seems to do something fun in March Madness.
Oh, yeah.
So they are the team that I'm going to choose there. Even though I like Dayton, I think Wichita State will get the win in that game, which sees Kentucky to have another win and potentially a Sweet 16 matchup against UCLA. Now, this is a game that I think you would have Kentucky winning, but to me, I love UNC. I love the style of basketball they play. Their offense is one of the best in the entire nation. They've got one of the best point guards in the league, who'll probably be a top 5 point guard, you'd say, or top 3 even pick year's draft, Lonzo Ball. This is a very talented side, and if they are on, we saw them losing the Pac-12 tournament to Arizona, but if they are on, then they are a fun, fun team to watch. So in that matchup, I have UCLA. And saying that, Malik Monk is fun to watch on Kentucky. So is De'Aaron Fox. They've got a lot of talent on that team. But for me, I just love the way that UCLA play. I think their offense is going to be too much for Kentucky.
Yeah, I've got it the other way around. I think Kentucky is one of the form teams coming in here. They won the SEC. did it in pretty good style, I would have said. And, you know, Northern Kentucky, to me, they've got absolutely no chance in this game. Wichita State, Dayton, that's a really intriguing matchup, that one. And I still think Dayton will get the win, but Wichita State, for all the right reasons, they're a team you want to watch. They're a fun team for all the reasons you said, Chris. But for me, I think Dayton gets through. Kentucky, Dayton. Kentucky will get Dayton. Book a match with UCLA, as you call it, but I reckon they're going to go past UCLA. I think they're going to go past UNC. They're going to be in the Final Four. They're going to go for the championship, and I'm picking them to win.
Win the whole thing.
I'm picking them to win the whole thing.
The Wildcats to win. So you have Isaac Humphries as the third Australian to be in the championship game and the first one to ever win it. No, Georgia Tech won, didn't they?
Certainly. Sorry?
Did Georgia Tech win? I can't even remember.
No, they didn't.
They didn't, did they? So they'd be the first one to win, yeah.
Yeah, the first one to win. You're 100% right. And
the only problem with that, though, he's not getting many minutes. I'd love to see it happen because any Australian winning it would be a good thing. But he's fallen completely out of the rotation, not completely, but he's just not getting the amount of minutes that we were expecting perhaps heading into the year. I think a lot of us were expecting this year to be his breakout season. He was a very, very young player last year. I think he was the youngest.
He was the youngest guy in college basketball, Chris.
So we thought that maybe with that year of development, he could come in his sophomore year and really flourish. That hasn't particularly happened, which is a bit disappointing. But, you know, like you said, if we could actually see him play even a couple of minutes in the championship game and end up getting that championship, then that'd be fantastic for Isaac and for Australians.
Yeah, and look, we could see the same similar scenario if Duke get there as well, you know, or get close, because unfortunately, unless they're going to have a blowout against Troy, and if they do, we will get to see Jack White hit the court. But in a similar scenario, unfortunately, because Isaac Humphries has certainly fallen out of the key rotation. He does get spot minutes, and hopefully they get a good matchup where he's required for him. But, you know, certainly I just think Kentucky, that they impressed me so much in the SEC tournament, and I still don't think we've seen the best of them.
What percentage would you give of a Final Four being Duke, Arizona, Kentucky, and Louisville? Because that would be fun. And that would mean that we are guaranteed
all the number two seeds make the Final Four. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and it means we're guaranteed an Australian to win.
How cool would that be? And that's actually realistic.
It is incredible. It's absolutely realistic.
That is so realistic that could happen. Imagine that if you had Kentucky, Arizona, coming up from the south and the west, going up against Duke and Louisville.
There's a chance. When we're talking Duke, Jack White's not...
Who would you want to win, Chris?
Want to win out of those four? Louisville.
Forget about who would win. Who do you want to win?
Louisville.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Without a 100%.
Doubt. And that's not taking anything away from Isaac Humphries, Keanu Pinder, Jack White. But Louisville, two Aussies in their starting five. Key players. That's what you want to see. You want to see Australians front and centre making a difference on the world stage.
And the two Aussies that are on that team as well are fun to watch. They are legitimately fun players to watch. So that obviously helps. But it's...
Seeing Adele is like a human highlight reel. He can do something out of nothing.
Exactly. And doing it on the big stage would do tremendous value to his draft stocks. Again, I hope he stays in school for another year. I still think he's a year away, but if he ends up having a fantastic tournament and Louisville ends up going all the way and winning it, and he's one of the main reasons why, then you can't really complain about the fact that you know, he might want to leave. So we'll see what happens, but there is that potential.
No, there is, and if you're in that situation and you're getting told you're going to be a first rounder, you go.
Exactly.
You go, because you never know what happens in the next round.
That's why we saw Dante Exum a few years back. A lot of people might not have liked the fact that he chose to bypass college and go straight into the NBA as a sixth seed after playing schoolboys championships in Canberra. But in the end, if he was to play a year of college, I'm pretty certain his draft stocks would have fallen from top five to, you know, second half of the lottery, if not been in that 15 to 25 range. So if you have that decision to make, you got to go when your stocks are at its highest.
Oh, when the iron's hot, you strike. And at the end of the day, that's what Exum has done. If Ding Adele can have the tournament that we think he can have, and he's going to get that kind of interest, well, then he should strike too. And how could you blame anyone? You know, at the end of the day, after school, after college, they're looking for a professional deal. So the NBA is the pinnacle of that. And if they come calling, you take the opportunity.
So make sure everyone who's listening to this podcast today, I'm pretty sure, Dame, I'm not sure if you've done it yet or if you're about to do it, but I think Pick and Roll will be having a bracket challenge on the ESPN. Is that right?
It's up. We have our own bracket challenge, our own tournament bracket challenge through ESPN. You just need to check out our article on our website about the Aussies, the ultimate guide to the Aussies in college basketball March Madness.
Written by your good self.
We've got a link at the bottom. And you just join. Join us and see if you can beat Chris or I.
And we are certainly up for the challenge. Normally, I'm sure as everyone who watches a lot of college basketball knows, the fact that you might not have watched a lot of ball this year doesn't particularly mean that you're not going to do very well. And the fact that you might have watched 5 games a day doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to go very well. So it's one of these things that are just about a complete random and luck of the draw type situation. But it's still fun to challenge yourself against everyone. So make sure you do follow our bracket. It's just a whole bunch of fun. So I don't know.
Yeah, most certainly. But, look us up. The pick and
will the winner get a shout out on the podcast perhaps? Is that what we're doing? The winner will get a shout out on this show?
Yep, the winner or second behind us.
Or second behind us, yeah, perfect. We may even get them on the phone if they want to have a bit of a chat to talk us through the tactics, their thought process going into each of the matchups, how they do the bracket, because I love learning about the way that people actually fill in their bracket and their thought process and everything like that. So I think if whoever ends up winning is interested in being a part of that, I think that's a good idea that we should try to do.
Oh, definitely. And we've already got 10 brackets filled out on through our comp.
So not including mine. So I'll be doing mine probably tomorrow. Tomorrow afternoon I'll be doing mine.
Well, you've only got a few days to get your brackets in before March Madness officially. The official tournament starts. So definitely get those brackets in. It all starts with UC Davis in the first four.
Against NC Central. So fingers crossed UC Davis can get over the line there. Chima Maniki, exactly. Damo, thank you very much for joining us on this very special March Madness edition of the Pick and Pop podcast. We can find your article, The Ultimate Guide to Aussies in March Madness, on the pickandroll.com.au website. You've tweeted it from the Pick and Roll account on both Twitter and Facebook. And everyone has to make sure to hit you up on your individual account as well. I know you never pump it up, but you do tremendous work, Damo. So everyone should follow you at Damian Arsenis. And they can follow me as well at Christos Tyler if they so choose. Mate, it's going to be a terrific couple of weeks, and I'm very much looking forward to it. But hopefully I'm going to convince the higher-ups at SEN to give us at least half an hour this Sunday. So again, stay tuned on our social media, on our respective social media accounts as to whether that will be happening or not. But fingers crossed we can get either half an hour, if not more, to talk all the opening couple of days action of basketball. And hopefully there's a lot of Australians that have come across with first round wins as well. So thank you, Damo, and we'll chat next week.
Certainly will. Get excited, folks. It's March Madness.
And actually, before I go, one more thing before I go, Lockie France and I will be doing the equivalent of the women's bracket tomorrow. So this we're doing this on Monday. I don't know, is this going up tonight? If we're putting this up on Monday night, then it'll be tomorrow. But if this is going up on Tuesday, it really depends. But One day from right, 24 hours from when we are recording this, I will be recording the women's equivalent of the bracket. So make sure you stay tuned for that as well with myself and Lockie France, who is a fantastic contributor to the pickandroll.com.au website.
Yeah, some amazing women and so some great teams that are going dancing too. Some real good chances there.
But they're all kind of playing for second, aren't they? Have UConn got it? I want to be, you know, hopeful and optimistic, but you have to be realistic at the same time. They do have to lose eventually, and we do have a lot of women.
Whether it's this year, though.
Yeah, I don't know if I can see it happening. We do have Christy Wallace at Baylor and Alana Smith at Stanford, two very good chances to actually beat UConn. But in the end, until they lose, I'm never going to tip them to lose. So it's not as open as the men's.
Yeah, they're the strongest team by far at the moment.
They are, but stay tuned for that podcast. Not really stay tuned, it's a different podcast. So what do you say there? Rather than stay tuned, look out for. Keep your eyes peeled.
Keep your eyes peeled for the women's version.
And all the March Madness content that pickandroll.com.au produces throughout the March Madness tournament as well. So again, Damo, this has been the longest goodbye that we've ever had on this podcast. I think I said goodbye to you about 5 minutes ago. But thank you once again, and we'll talk next week.
Love your work.